Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
But he said, just like the gold that is tested or refined, it's compared to your faith, that though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
You have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, because we'd like to center our focus and our attention on the Bible and what it has to say about our living today, and I hope and trust that it'll be of a benefit to you. In the area of hallmark of faith, there was a book that was written in 1999 called Hallmark, A History of the London Assay Office. And the author, Forbes, went on to document the whole trade of goldsmithing. And I haven't read the book, but the whole book is related to, and I'm familiar with it, really documenting the oldest form of consumer protection. And the way it was done in the area of gold was really for the last 700 years that goldsmiths would take the gold, and it was an independent testing and marking of gold or other precious metals to guarantee the conformity to legal standards of purity. And so, for the last 700 years, anytime you would know that it was a genuine gold, pure gold, they would mark it. It would be a mark that now is recognized actually by a whole nother commission that does it, but up to this point, it was done by this hallmarking. And actually, previous to that, over the centuries, that how in the world would you know whether you were going to be able to buy some gold, whether it was genuine or real or pure, or whether it was false? Some of you might be familiar with the days of the gold rush in California, where they would end up taking the gold and they would take it to that prospector to be tested by a sayer, and he would take that ore and out of that ore determine how much gold was there and how pure that gold was. And then they would take the certificate and they would stamp this approval. They would end up stating, this is approved, this is what it is, and therefore that piece of paper actually became as important as the gold itself, because without it, you couldn't prove that gold. But what about way back? We're talking the last 500,000, 700,000, 800,000 years. What did they do? Pretty much, it was based on a person's word. They would say, this is gold, I've got this, this is pure, And so they would take a goldsmith, and the goldsmith would have to determine the purity of that gold. It was marked. It was a hallmark. That's where you hear the term hallmark. It is a definition of the purity of that gold, the quality of that gold. And the goldsmiths themselves were really pretty simple people. They just had a wooden table they worked off of and leather that was a drapery that would catch all the loose gold, and they would take their hammer, and they would take pliers, they would end up taking their tools, they would have a melting pot, and they would, if needs be, melt the gold down, and the impurity was to come to the top. It was tested, it was tried. You say, well, Pastor, what about way back, like in Jesus' times? And it was the same basic concept, and that is why you find in 1 Peter chapter 1, although we're not going to study that text, but I want to help you understand that that particular metaphor, that picture of gold, was the same concept that Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, the testing, the melting pot of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Gold's always been other than maybe a few civilizations down through the test of time, has been very valuable and very precious. But he said, just like the gold that is tested or refined, it's compared to your faith, that though it, your faith be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And just as that hallmark was a stamp of acceptance and certification that it was genuine, it was pure of quality, it was officially accepted, that faith is compared to this gold in value and refining. So how do you know if your faith is genuine and pure and true? God puts you and I and our faith through the testing, through suffering, to see whether it is pure and true. And that really now is what you're talking about in life. Is there a hallmark of genuine, as it was with gold? And to buy this piece of gold, you would look for that hallmark that, yeah, I can trust this. And it's the same thing with faith. Because someday, every one of us are going to stand before God. It is appointed unto man once to die. And at that point, whether rich or poor, whether well-known or unknown, whether by virtue of your creed or your color or your religion or your beliefs, every one of us someday are going to face the judgment seat of God. And so whatever faith you have is going to be tested. It's going to be tested on this earth, and ultimately someday your works will be tried by fire, but your faith will be tested. And so when you have people say, well, so-and-so died, what do you think? They're in heaven? I don't know, and I don't have to answer for their faith. I got to answer for my faith. So what are you basing your faith on? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works. So if someone dies and they stand before God, God is not going to be impressed with what position they've held, what clothes they wear, what religion they are. They're going to stand before God, and they're going to answer for what did they do with Jesus Christ, according to the Bible. And that's why it's so important when you end up looking at what I want to look at today, this whole area of faith. Does your faith have a hallmark? Is it genuine? Is it true? Because in our world today, there is nothing going to be done to encourage your faith in Christ. And it was no different than it was in the days in which the book of Hebrews was written. Just after the apostles and the disciples had passed off the scene, and there was a need for someone defining and restating to the church what in the world is that faith. And you find in Hebrews chapter 10, the statement is made in verse 38. We've been talking about it throughout this last year, the area of the just. Look at verse 38, the just shall live by faith. And the writer here makes this statement, and then for the rest of chapter 10, all of chapter 11, and down through chapter 12, verse about through 3, he gives an exposition of what faith is. And so in your outline, I just really want to give to you today, I'm only going to get to the first two of 3 points, come back, we'll finish that out, on the area, first of all, the explanation of the Christian faith. What in the world is the Christian faith? And I want to answer 3 very simple questions. I don't want to take time and answer the second point of the matter, which is the expression of that Christian's faith out of chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to say this, because you have, as we do today, and it was no different in the day in which Hebrews was written, groups of people that were basing their faith on certain belief systems. And the writer here was coming back to some very critical point and simply summing up, the just shall live by faith. And so for this particular chapter, I just want to give you these three simple questions. I'm going to move through this, and very relevant. And I'm going to say it because we are trying to help people take the Bible, make application of life. It really doesn't matter what I think and feel. It doesn't matter what you think and feel, unless it's based on Scripture. And that's why this particular, in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 38, very simply, a couple of quick questions. One of them is, who wrote the letter about this faith? And I think it's a fair question to ask, because the explanation that Christian faith, that every Christian is urged to live by faith, so he's got to define what it is. And I think it's good to be able to say, okay, who in the world wrote the letter about this faith? I'd be straight up and say to you that the writer itself and himself could be debatable who the writer is, but I know who the author is. The author is the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. These holy men of old were moved as they penned the words of God. Now, whether this writer is Paul, although I personally don't think it is, based on Hebrews 2, when he said that he who gave to us that direct revelation, who saw and heard God, Paul had that. Whether that's Apollos, whether that's Barnabas, it was men of God that were moved. And Hebrews is a part of God's word. And the ancients suggest that this particular writer, who seems to be anonymous, but God himself says, listen, I'm giving you this book. And the reason this is right here is because the whole book of Hebrews, let me step back to the teaching right here. Whole book of Hebrews, if you take 8 Old Testament passages, which is what Hebrews did, and then made explanation out of all 8 of those Old Testament passages. And one of those, the 6th one, is right here out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hebrews 10, 32 through 12, 3 is an expositive or exposition of our key text, Habakkuk chapter 2, which is the just shall live by faith. The Old Testament writer stated that. Now you say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal about that? Okay, you got the book of Hebrews, you got 8 Old Testament texts, and really, very simply, when you look at the Old Testament, you have people that are in 30 to 35 to 60 AD, somewhere in that neighborhood, that is writing in the New Testament about Old Testament writings that you have what we call the Old Testament. And I mentioned over Easter time, prophets of old and pictures that were stated and parables that Jesus himself said, all of those are related to Christ. What do you do with Christ? So you start with, all right, who wrote the letter, which I ultimately, let's just leave it as the author of the Holy Spirit, and who are the recipients of this faith? He mentions some interesting statements. Notice in verse 38, he said, now if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition. We, the writer, he says, we're not of them who are drawing back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And he is evidently saying, in this group of people that are reading this letter are different groups of people. There are those that genuinely believe, and there are those that really are not believing.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.